new sugya. This one is going to be a bracha sugya, very much a bracha sugya, but it actually starts in a little bit of a different area of halacha. This is one of the examples of when you learn Kesef Mevarchim, so at the end of the year you realize that you spent much of the year learning Seder's Rhyme. So you have to understand a little bit about Orla in order to understand what a fruit is. You have to understand a little bit about Hachas Chal in order to understand what bread is, Kohen V'Kohena. So this is going to be a classic example where the sugya is going to be a bracha sugya, but really the sugya begins born of this Orla and then soon makes its way into brachas proper. So the sugya begins on Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph. The Gemara tells us the first word line is Rabbi Yehuda, so it's about 2/3 of the way down. It's by the two dots. About 2/3 of the way down. First word line is Rabbi Yehuda. So two dots. Amar Vida Merav. Slav shel orla b'chutz loretz. So Rav begins to discuss a specific kind of a tree, a specific kind of a fruit, called a tzlaf. If I'm not mistaken, I think the English translation is a caper bush. Whether or not that helps you or not, I cannot tell you. All I know is that I remember we learned Ketz Mevorchen, so one of my Talmidim was very excited to print out for me the article online about the caper bush. It meant absolutely zero to me, so it means about as much as the Gemara means in terms of what the tzlaf is. So the bottom line is, Ravida says, if you have this tzlaf that happens to be orla, it's within the first 3 years, so orla applies to this fruit. So b'chutz la'aretz zorikas avyonos v'ochlas ha'kafrisin. So if this is taking place in chutz la'aretz, like Rav Yehuda lives in chutz la'aretz, lives in Bavel, Rav Yehuda tells us that this shayla comes up in chutz la'aretz, why are we observing orla in chutz la'aretz? So the answer is, because the Mishnah tells us in Kedushin at the din, that orla applies in chutz la'aretz, notwithstanding the fact that the Chumash says kisvol aretz. We have a halacha Moshe Mesinai called orla chutz la'aretz, so that's for sure, that we know that that din exists. So Rav Yehuda tells us that when you observe the dinim of orla on this tzlaf fruit in chutz la'aretz, you should just know that zorik is avyonos for ochas ha-kafrisin, that the avyonos is the fleshy part of the fruit, and the kafrisin are the peels, or the shells, the peels, whatever they are. So Rav Yehuda says that you have to throw out the avyonos, you have to throw out the fruit, because it's orla, it's also to eat, but the peels you're permitted to eat, because peels presumably are not considered to be part of the fruit. Just parenthetically, it's a very strange phrase, zorik is avyonos. Why does he say you throw out the fruit? He should have said Sorifus of Yonos, because Orla is supposed to be Minhan Nisrofin. The Mishnah in Tamura says he's supposed to burn Orla. So that's a big, big machlekes aposkim. Why does the Gemara use this very vague phrase, Zorek, which gives the connotation, take a throw to the garbage? What happened to making a fire? So this was one of the rayas for the Pinyin de Chassam Sofer. We spoke about this in the Shir and the Shul one time. I think we maybe mentioned him on the Shir. Chassam Sofer has a famous Shita that he says that there really is no mitzvah to burn orla. When the Gemara Mishnah says that orla is burned on the Srafin, that means you have a right to burn orla. And if you burn orla, then you could use the ashes subsequently. But if you have a chuyav to burn it, it's not like serefa, like of a desire, that you have to burn it. It's just that it's nitan to serefa. You're allowed to be serefa. If you want to be serefa, and there are nafkaminas, ladina, that emanate from that serefa. But if you want to throw it out, as long as no one's going to find it. If you leave it on the tables, people are going to come and eat it, that's a problem. But as long as you can discard it appropriately, it doesn't have to be literally minhan Srafin. And the Chassam Sofer writes that he never ever saw his Rebbeim burn orla. Chash Rebbeim, Nosson Adler, was the Rebbeim Buvak of the Chassam Sofer. And he says he never in all his life saw the Nosson Adler burn orla. He's just to throw it into the garbage and finish. So others are doicha that raya of the Chassam Sofer. Others say that no, then chutz la'aretz, there's no din of sreifas orla. Because orla is chutz la'aretz, it's a special chiddush. Not allowed to eat it, but the mitzvah shreifa doesn't apply to chutz la'aretz for whatever reason. But if you had orla Eretz Yisrael, then there would be an absolute bona fide chiyuv of shreifa itself. So that's a big machlokes, I suppose. But the evidence is a machlokes of Rishon, machlokes Rashi. And tell you the whole major machlokes, how to make sense of this phrase, Zorikas of Yonos, Nafkamin Ladina, is there a mitzvah of burning orla Eretz Yisrael? Is there such a mitzvah? According to Chassam Sofer, even in Eretz Yisrael, you can throw it into the garbage. According to those who disagree with the Chassam Sofer, in Eretz Yisrael, you would have to burn it. So those of you may remember, we had this a couple of years ago where we had some clementines from Eretz Yisrael that were a serious shayla of orla on them. The question was, should we mamish go and burn them or not? So we said, according to Chassam Sofer, you're not mechuyav to, and according to those who disagree, you are. So we asked Rav Shech to the time, and he thought, speak of deraisa. So we had a shreifas orla. We've done shreifas asherah now, sure, we've done shreifas orla. There's a lot of strange things around here. So that whole machlokes emanates from this gemara. But we're not talking about this part now. We're talking about the second half where it says, ochlas ha-kafrisin, that Rabbi Yehuda Amarav permitted the eating of the peels of this particular fruit. Why is that? L'veimah dev yonas peiru kafrisin la-peiru. It sounds pretty clear that the reason for this distinction is that the kafrisin the shells, the peels, are not kalachly considered to be the fruit. And that's why the Motri Nuchas Orla. So the Gemara goes on to challenge. The Gemara goes to have a whole discussion. The Gemara raises the issue of Ochas Brachas, then it raises the issue of Tzichus Maisres. And finally, the Gemara comes to the realization that's a Machlokes of Tanoim. That's a Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, actually in the Mishnah of Sechts Maisres, a little bit later on, where the Gemara quotes this Nod. The first one line is the Amak Rabbi Akiva. Mark wants a Mishnah, but says it's Maisres. Snan Rabbi Eliezer, Amit Slaf, Mas Asa, Tamaros, Rabbi Yonis, Vekafrisin. Rabbi Kiva, Ome, Amis Nas, El Rabbi Yonis, Buvad, Nene Shupri. That Rabbi Eliezer says you have to separate Maisres from the peels, because the peels are considered to be edible part of the fruit. And Rabbi Akiva said that wouldn't be necessary. Only the fruit proper, but not the Kafrisin. So the end of the day, it's a Machlekes HaTanoim. Both in Uchas Maisres as well as in Hilchos Orla, and that seems to be pretty much where the sugya ends, but not yet so fast. The Gemara says, wait a second, if it's a machlokes HaTanoim, why are we being makel so fast? So the Gemara says, it must be, this is part of the old story of Orla's Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara tells us in the Sefer Kedushin, the first parak, that whenever you have a shayel, whenever you have a suffix, whenever you have a machlokes in Orla's Chutz La'aretz, you have a right to be made. Suffolk all schools are the kula. That's halacha Moshe Basina. That vada is also suffolk is mutter. So that's the reason why we're so makel on these peels, because we're not really sure what it is. So therefore, in Chutz La'aretz, where people live in Chutz La'aretz, he had a right to be makel to eat the peels, because we're not even sure it's a fruit in the first place. The clear implication of the Gemara is that if you lived in Eretz Yisrael and the same Shabbat would come up in Eretz Yisrael, we wouldn't be so convinced that it would be mutter, and then it would have to be a machlokes satana. So if we would just learn when the Bavim and Aleph, we would walk away and say, this is a deraisa de Gishayla, how do you define a fruit? This would be a good sugi if it was Tu B'Shvat, almost Tu B'Shvat. So this is a machlokes, how do you define a fruit? Is the peel considered to be part of the fruit or not? So half the Torah said yes, half the Torah said no. Nafkamina for oila, nafkamina for maestras, and chutzla, at least in chutzla it's a willing to be made. Well, it's over, not sure, but at least in chutzla it's a willing to be made. But I told you that we're going to learn it with brachas now, not just say this rhyme. So now, all of a sudden, the Gemara on Daf Lamed Vav of days, we have to skip all the way to the end of the sugya, on Daf Lamed Vav of days, the Gemara now begins to take all the above and begin to plug it into those brachas. So you have to skip down on Lamed Vav of days towards where the parentheses are. It's right where right at the end of the very, very narrow lines. It's in the parentheses, the Hilchasa. So some of you may be wondering, why are we even reading these parentheses? Generally, the first thing they teach in Yeshiva and Gemara, you read the brackets and you don't read the parentheses. That's the Klal Gadol. I'm not sure who made up the Klal, but that's the Klal Gadol. The brackets are the more authoritative a text. How it's ever in the parentheses is the less it was put into the Gemara. You know, because some Rishonim had it as a Girsa, so when they printed up the Gemaras, they wanted to incorporate the different variant texts a little bit also, but it was never really the main primary opinion, and therefore it was put into parentheses to differentiate it from the actual text of the Gemara itself. But it does appear in our Gemara, whether it belongs or not is highly questionable, we'll see as we go on. So let's read it as if it exists. We'll read it as if what it says really is true. Says somebody in the following words. V'hilchasa, halacha is as follows, k'mar b'ravashi, that which mar b'ravashi said at Amud Aleph is correct, that is the final word, the zarkas avionas, that he would throw out the fleshy part of the fruit of the tzlaf, the kebab bush, the achlas echafrisin, and he would eat the peels. Umin, this statement continues, since Ma'abar Rav Ashi clearly is not treating the peels as a fruit in terms of Hilchus Orla, Lagabi Brachas Nami La Peira Ninu. Therefore, in Hilchus Brachas, it's also not a pri. And therefore, if a person is sitting down and eating a peel, one would not recite the Bracha Bar Per Eitz, Ela Bar Pri Hadama, but rather one would recite a Bar Pri Hadama. Atkan, these five lines of something, making note of the fact that Ma'abar Rav Ashi is correct, that is the accepted halacha, and then extrapolating to Hilchos Brachos. So if you just see these six lines or so in this parenthesis, and what would your take be? Without me sharing with you what I think about it, what would your take be? You saw these six lines.
It seems consistent.
It means we're making the jump. We're going from, in a sense, Maestris, is where it really started. Maestris to Orla, Orla to Brachas. And it has another.
My Bar Pri Adama.
Well, if it's not a fruit, but lemaisa still grows from the ground, so that's the yisod that appears in other places. No, so that's the yisod that appears earlier on in the sugya, that when you have things that should not ikar apri, certain parts of the tree that can't really call them the fruit of the tree, but lemaisa they did grow up ground. It's not like eating a piece of meat, so they by default they go down to bar pri adama. So by saying it's not ikar apri, you're basically saying it's bar pri adama.
It's not the normal way.
It's not normal.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's already a whole nother objection. That even if you want to tell me that it's bar pri adama, it's not ikar apri, let's knock it down to shakal because it's not even normal. Okay. Again, I don't, as I preface by saying, I don't know too much about what tzlaf is. I'm not sure what the normal eating patterns are. But it sounds like what Rabbi Yehuda was doing wasn't so crazy. The guy was eating the fruit and throwing it. I mean, he didn't want to eat the peel because. I'm sorry, he did eat the peel. He threw out the fruit. Didn't eat the peel. Doesn't sound like he was doing anything so crazy. What else is bothering me? There are a few things bothering me with these six lines.
So if something's not a regular fruit, so shouldn't you have to make two brachos on it?
Well, why would a regular fruit not be early?
But no, I'm saying, let's just say it doesn't fall into a category. According, if we say a peel is not part of the fruit.
Right, so we're saying it's not a peel, the fruit got to be orla, so...
No, I'm saying, that means we're saying a peel is really not part of the fruit.
Right.
So if we're saying a peel is not part of the fruit, then just stam, if you're stam eating an apple, not an orla apple.
Right? Yeah, 100% right.
You just have to make two brachos.
You're asking nothing. I didn't understand your question. Oh, you're saying, wait a second. What I just told you is that if a person would peel an apple and just eat the peel...
No.
I'm making a question stronger. If you would just eat the peel, you would make a bar pri adama. Now you're going to see a guy's eating an apple with the peel, and you make two brachas. So what do you think the answer to that kasha is? I could answer that
kasha.
It's a grint offense. So I could cover that peel with ikar adama.
But we're saying it's not a grint offense. We're saying it's two separate...
No. It's no worse than cereal and milk.
Oh, you're saying from a... Okay.
It's no worse than potato, french fries and ketchup, right? It's no worse than that. What else is bothering me about this? There are a few things that are bothering me about this. About this line of Gemara.
The Maaser to Arla, we can have a dimyon to, but what makes us say that there's a tzad hashem between Arla and Brachos?
Okay. So the issue that... The clear indication of the Gemara is that there is a very real connection, and it's not so far-fetched, because after all, Hilchos Arla depends on Rechaltem, Arathem, Arlosu, as Pirio, and in order to say with a straight face, Bore Priyo'etz, it has to be Priyo'etz. So it says, Tatam kol eitz, right? Varaltam or Losa's period. So it speaks about a priya eitz in Uchas Orla. It speaks about a priya eitz in Uchas Brachas. We have a rule called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kain, the Raisa Tikkun Zilma. So thou instituted the Bracha Bar Priya eitz, the model that they looked at was Uchas Orla. But the same way I mentioned before that, if you want to know whether something is a Motzi Lech Ben Haaretz, so a good model of their Raisa to look at it, well, is it Chayv and Chala? Could it be good for Matzah? Those are dinim that apply, that the Din Lechem applies to. So that in itself is not bothering me. There's a lumbishah problem here, and there's a textual problem here. What's the lumbishah problem? What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Go back to the basics. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Go back again. What did Rabbi Yehuda say in Amud Aleph? Where did the story happen with him? They just gave it away. Did Rabbi Yehuda say that it's not a fruit? Did Rabbi Yehuda say with absolute certainty that it's not a fruit? Is that what Rabbi Yehuda said? If Rabbi Yehuda would have lived in Eretz Yisrael, would he have said the same thing? No. The Gemara said, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Slav Shalom, Alamech, Chutzlo, Ares, Eichlas, Kafrisin. He permitted you to eat the Kafrisin because there was a Machlekes HaTanoim about it. And according to one lone Tana, it happened to be that it was not really a fruit. It's not chayav and ma'isras, and therefore it's not orla, even though other tanarim disagree. So Rabbi Yehuda was willing to make how do we introduce the sugya? Based on the principle of orla's chutzlaretz and the halachah city of suffering orla's chutzlaretz is mutter. So the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda ate the peels is because he wasn't really sure what it was. So if he wasn't sure what it was, he was never machreed, he didn't paskin the shayla. He just said, I don't know, I'm not sure. So how in the world could the Gemara then say, oh, by the way, because Rabbi Yehuda ate the peels, you see from here that he paskin that it's not a fruit. It's not a fruit. The other brothers brought peel. Not true. I don't see anything. Rabbi Yehuda probably did not eat the peels in Eretz Yisrael. And the other fucker turned around and say, well, in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't eat the peels. So it must be held that it is a fruit. If it's a fruit, you make more praise. So how could the Gemara extrapolate from Hilchos Orla's Chutzlaretz? It doesn't bother me that the Gemara is learning out from Orla to to bracha in terms of the definition of fruit. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the Gemara itself conceded that it wasn't bevados. It was based on the principle of oil as chutzpah as being a sofek. How did the Gemara not make that jump? That's bothering about these lines.
Maybe the Gemara is teaching us that sofek of peros is.
Oh, okay. You're ready after Rabbi Yonah's pshach. You're ready 10 steps ahead. Okay. So again, we're just trying to analyze what my problems are with these couple of lines.
Does something Rav Ashi here have anything to do with Rabbi Huda on Amud Aleph, though? I mean, Amud Aleph is Rabbi Huda.
Right, but the Gemara tells, the Gemara says, somewhere passing here. The Gemara says about, I think somewhere in there, the Gemara also has Rav Ashi, I forgot already.
It's like 8 lines up from the bottom. Eshkachai.
Ravina Ashkel Mar Ravash, because Zarkel Gam Kachel for reason, yeah. So Mar Ravash is the same. Now again, it's even more important Psach to quote Mar Ravash than Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was an early Amor. He was the second generation of Amorim. Mar Ravash was Mamshach Hasibus HaGemara. I mean, Ravashi was the primary, Ravina and Ravashi were the primary closers of the Gemara. Ravina was a younger than Ravashi, so Mar Ravash was Amish's contemporary. So he's getting in the last word. So the Gemara says, Hilchasa, this is the last.
Mar Ravashi also talking only about Sosaurus?
But Mar Ravashi, the Gemara tells a story about Mar Ravashi. Mar Ravashi did the following, and he lived in Chutzlaritz. Ravashi was in Chutzlaritz, right? There's something else that's just not sitting right with me. Actually, that's sitting right with me. This is just not Lashon HaGemara. Humor just doesn't know this. I tell you the truth, I can't put my finger on it, but this is just not what?
Someone wrote notes in the side.
Yeah, this is not like the lingua of the Gemara. There's an Osamech, there's a fascinating comment. Osamech says there's a line in the Gemara of the Kama, one line in the middle of the whole sugya, where the Osamech writes about that line. He says that anyone who has their real pulse on the Lashon HaGemara will realize immediately this is from the Savaroim. Savaroim of the next generation. You have to have a right close to Gemara. So the Shuragon has a whole tshuva. He tells us that after the Gemara says in Babatzia that Ravina and Ravash were Sofara, they're the ones who closed the Gemara. But the Shuragon writes that there was a little bit of editing done, the next generation of two. They touched up a little bit, a lot of editing didn't happen in the Rishami. That's why the Rishami is so hard to read. So the final editors of the Gemara were the generation of two after the Amoraim, the Rabban and Savaroim. Rav Shuragon writes that every once in a while they put in a little something, you know, to make the Gemara flow a little bit better, a little smoother, just to read a little bit clearer. So Rav Shuragon says about certain lines, he says anyone who really understands Lashon Chazal will realize right away that this is 20 years later. This is a run through. This is not Ravina Rav Ashi's. Just they didn't talk that way. It's a little bit of a different of a nusach. So I can't put my finger on it, but everyone understands what I mean. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like this is the Lashon HaGemara. It's just it's not the way the Gemara will say Hilchasa such and such. Gabe or Allah, therefore, da da da. It just doesn't sound right. So if you take a look, I mean, it's interesting. If you take a look at the side in the margin, some Masorah Shas on the side of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, that there's a reason why these 5 lines are in parentheses. You know why? Maharshal Mochak Zeh. Rashal said this whole 5 lines, not for the Gemara. Kihu mibal halachas gedolus. It's from the notes, as Noam said, right? The Baal halachas gedolus was in the period of the Gaonim already, a couple of years later, in the period of the Gaonim, and he says, Ve'enim in a Gemara, v'chenu hedi barash. He says, if you take a look at the Rosh is befeir. The Rishon already said that these couple of lines and that is not Gemara talking. I'm not saying we should pass them, I'm saying it's not right, I'm saying it's not the Amorim talking. So, and that's why, in fact, in our print of text, that's why the printers put it into parentheses to highlight the fact that it's not really, really, really from the Gemara itself. And not only is it a textual problem, it's a conceptual problem that we have a big problem with saying that's from the Gemara because it doesn't seem to fit because the Amoraim will only make the Chutzlaritz, they'll never make them in Eretz Yisrael. So how does that impact in terms of Hilchos Brachos? So where do we go from here? So we have a Gemara, we have Amoraim who are eating in Chutzlaritz, the shells, the peels, that we know for a fact. Huda was doing it, Rav was doing it, Mar Ravash. 300, 400 years of Amoraim, from beginning to end, they're eating the peels in Chutzlaritz. and they were taking a stand, at least in Chutz La'aretz, on the Machlekes of Tanoim about Hilchos Maishes. And now we have this cryptic half line, we're not sure exactly who, what, where it comes from, that makes the jump to Hilchos Brachos. So where do we go from here? So there seem to be three different approaches in the Gedolei Rishonim of how this plays out in terms of the entire sugya. So let's take a look at the Rif. Always a good place to start in terms of Sefer Halacha. On page of Hamud Beis and Tapia Rif, those are the regular Gemaras. If you have one of the fancy old Zohar Gemaras, I can't help you know where it is. But the old Gemaras, it's on Hamud Beis and Tapia Rif. I still never understood why certain, some of the newer, fancier Gemaras, so they reprinted the Rif. They made it, they changed the block print, the Rishon on the side, and they made, you know, the Balamor is much more legible, everything is great, it's Gevaldik. But to do that, they changed the Tzuras Adaf for the Rif, they changed the entire pages. So sometimes you know, you have a certain picture in your mind where something is, and now all of a sudden you start going fishing. So the emphasis, the Frankel realm did the same thing. They also changed it, but that already was changed. It's greater than 20 years since I changed it, so that I already got used to. But the new Rifs I haven't gotten used to yet, so I still have certain pictures in my mind where something is in the old Rifs. Okay, anyway, so over here on Chavheim Days in the Dapi Harif, so the Rif starts at the top line. Amr Vidav Arav. Flop shall orla zirkas avyernis v'yachas echafrisin ravina ashka l'mab ravashin because zirkas v'yachas echafrisin, everything's great. V'zehilchas ahochin, says the Rif, this is the halacha, the zirkas avyernis v'yachas echafrisin, that you can have kafris, whatever, that you throw out the flesh and you eat the kafrisin. So far, so good. Umidil gabi orla laf prihu, gabi brocha namilo prihu. Lom vachinu lavei, bar prihait, alabar prihadom. Now, either the Rif believed that this was the Gemara talking, or the Rif believed that maybe it was the Balach Zadot talking, but the Balach Zadot was what? Was right, what he said. So the Rif quotes it. So the Rif quotes, Mamash Kimad verbatim from the parentheses, that this is the final halacha. The Hilchos Ahochin, and he makes that jump from if it's not a fruit for Orla, and it's not a fruit for Brachos as well, and therefore the Brach goes down to Bar Pri Adom. So we're not going to bother asking any linguistic and textual questions. I want to analytically. How do you solve that problem? Why did the Amoraim only make Hilchos Ahochin? How in the world did the Rif know just because you're making Hilchos Ahochin that impacts Hilchos Brachos? Any ideas how to read this Rif? Look at the Rif very, very carefully. Extremely carefully.
Chutzlar
is
in the top line.
The Rif doesn't say boo, doesn't say a word that this story happened in Chutzlar. The Rif tells us Psak of Rav Ashi, and the Psak of Rav leaves out the Chutzlar story. Not a mention, not a mash, not a remez of being Chutzlar. Now, that solves the conceptual problem. Because if the Rif really means the Paskin that even in Eretz Yisrael you're allowed to eat it, so the Rif is telling you that it's not a fruit. If it's not a fruit, then Taka, it makes sense. The Brach should be Parpi Adom. So conceptually, the Rif is Gevaldik. What's the problem now with the Rif? But the Gevaldik talks about Chutzlars. He must tell them, he must 25 lines about all his Chutzlars here. We just got ourselves. Solve one problem, create another problem. What do you think?
If you want to say Orla is Del Risa,
we make it all the time, so you can say something like just a hot girl. Oh, almost like the root of it with Steve's going, when I'm short, then his nephew falling back. The Rif doesn't say any, I hear what you're saying. The Rif doesn't make mention of that. The Rif kind of tells you pretty straightforward. If you want to know, Taklas, they asked the Rif, what brach to make on the peels? And the answer is very pre-Adam, and the answer is because it ain't Orla. He didn't say anything about Tzveikis. The other Rishon said, but the Rif doesn't mention that treasure. What do you think Pshat the Rif is? So Rabbeinu Yonah, the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah, suggests the following possibility in the Rif. We start off the sugi by saying, it's a machlekes ha-tanoyim. Whether this is the peels of fruits or not, the machlekes the mishnayis, the maseches meiser. And I never told you how we paskin in that machlokes. I just told you, well, it's not like this. Therefore, chutzlots, we can always breathe a sigh of relief. Everything's mutter, all sacred to mutter. But you know what? It's also powerful to say that it's not just a suffix, but it's mavat. We paskin that it's not a bitteres vade. We paskin like those tanoim who say it's takanata for bitteres vade, not as maishers. Therefore, it's true that Rabbi Yehuda maybe wasn't sure about that. And my Rav Asher can't tell. I just know that he ate the peels. I'm not sure why he ate the peels. But it's very possible that we paskin that it really is not a fruit, that's really not a fruit to tell us vaday. If it's not a fruit to tell us vaday, then the din would be even in Chutz Lareth, it's okay. And so, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's okay. And the corollary that would be, what would the bracha be? Well, if it's okay to eat it, and it's not a fruit, you don't have to tell us vaday. And that's what the Rif meant. And that explains why the Rif left out the key word Chutz Lareth, because the Rif's not a Pesach HaLach, is that already a parish in the Gemara? As the Pesach HaLach, the final bottom line Pesach HaLach is that it's tafeh, not a fruit. It's not a fruit, b'tara, it's vada, not b'tara, it's suffix. And davka the Rif's loshi dasa, because the Rif left out the word Chutz Lareth, he paskin b'tara, it's vada, even Eretz Yisrael, it's not a fruit, therefore he was free to say that the bracha is a bar pri adama. So both pieces of the Rif make perfect sense. It's just a question of quality of psak, that the Gemara wasn't sure at the beginning, but the quality of psak, we pask in that it's not a fruit of terrorism. So that's the leader in Yonah suggests one pshat. Could we suggest an alternate pshat in the Rish? So this is something that both of you, I think, were alluded to before. Give me another pshat in the Rish. That the emes is, we really don't know. The Rish tacked left out the word chutzlatz, okay. It's really we're really not sure what to do with this peel. Is a peel a fruit? Is a peel not a fruit? Machlokes Tanurim is Maisrus, unresolved Machlokes. Machlokes Tanurim is Orla, unresolved. Chutzos is the Maker, that's all we probably have to be Machmir. But Rabbi, I want to know if it's brachas. I want to know, Rabbi, what brach they're making the peel. I'm eating an apple peel. What brach they're making the peel? So what's the answer? We don't know what the answer is. So what are you doing? You don't know. If you have something that's a suffix burpate, suffix burpate, don't, what should you do? You better make a double. Why? Because the famous Mishnah Bracha says, well, if you make an eighth on a hadama, if you make an eighth on a carrot, you're in trouble. Let's make a new bracha. If you made a hadama on an apple, then you eat with the other, because apples grow on the ground. Grow on the tree, grows on the ground. So the safer of the two brachas is always the Barakir Adama. That's exactly what the Rif said. So according to this version of the version of doing the Rif, what the Binyan Rini Yonah say, is that Inochinami, you're only allowed to eat the peels in Chutz Lareth. We're not really sure that it's absolutely not oil. We're not convinced, and I won't take a stand on that machlokes zetanoim. But me they sveikel nafka, and therefore in Chutz Lareth it's okay. It's salt also, but ochus brachas be sofek. You're allowed to make a. It's better to make. It's preferable to make a bar priyadam. So according to the first version of the Rif, we're telling you, but there is vada. You better make a bar priyadam. You made a bar priyadam, so you're up the creek. It's nothing. It's worthless. It's mabishat a fruit we pass, yeah. But the second version, it's not worthless. We don't know what the din is, but we're going to earn the side of caution try to make a bar priya adama. So two different versions of the
Rif. Why would the Rif bring in the Lashman to Lagavi Arlo, though, Lav Prihu?
Because since, what that means is, right, so what that means, according to the second version is that, Lagavi Arlo, Lav Prihu, that means in Chutz Lareth, you have to stick that away, in Chutz Lareth, it's not a pri. Because we're not sure, and therefore we're not treating it as a pri, and therefore it's a suffix, and it's a terror suffix, we're going to let you make a mabri lam. It's not the Pashtun Rif. The Pashtun Rif is the first shot. The Tamir Ben Yonah offer a second shot. I'm not even sure whether they really, really mean it, but that's a Rif, or they mean it was an independent shot. So if you like the first shot, the Rif will call that the Shittas Rif, we'll call the second shot the Tamir Ben Yonah shot. Good, I'm happy, comfortable to call it that. But we have two working shotim to, in a sense, grant credibility to the parentheses. The bottom line is that either way, the parentheses are right, and we make a bar priya adama. However, I'm going to take a third approach to the sugya and say that if we suspected that maybe the parentheses just are not right, they're not authentic, it's not from the Gemara, and even if the Baal HaLachos Gedolos said it, we're not bound to anything that says the Gemara, we're bound to it. It says the Baal HaLachos Gedolos, other Rishon could disagree with. So if you take a look, take a look on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Hilchos of Gemara Rav Ashi in Texas. Hilchus HaKemar Bravashi, Midlagavi Oil LaPerihu, Poyo in Haram, Dilagavi Oil LaPerihu, Haina Mishum Nukhulamek Barat Lakamos Bechutz Lords. Avabieret Vadia the Peira, and the Aform of Orchin Alav, catch this one, Boer Priha Eitz. Brachas Lake Achiluk Ben Barat Lakamos Lords. What did Taisa just say? Taisa basically just said that we don't follow those parentheses. That's what he just said. Taisa just said that that assumption of the parentheses, that Balach Sedelus, whoever put that line in, that if it was Orla, the din is X, and if it was Brachas, the din is X, that's not true, says the Rambam. That's not true, say the Balach Sedelus, because if the Halach is X, and the Halach is that it's not a free, only the Teresophic, because the Chutz Lorech, that's not even Brachas, Brachas. That would be the most absurd conclusion to say. If you live in New York, then you make bracha X. If you live in Eretz, you make bracha Y. That's ridiculous. Because bracha has to be uniform. So how do you paskin? So the answer is, we really truly paskin that it is a fruit. The Ika Klali of Psak is, it really is a fruit. In Chutz Laretz, it could be Mekel, because there's one dot of disagrees. All the Chutz Laretz are very Mekel. I feel Yochid Eger Harabim, the Rana conditions, but actually from the Gemara. You can make any sheet, the one ton, or one lone ton, or someone in the middle of nowhere said something. You can be make on him and all those Chutz. But that's not normative halacha. Because brachas follows normative halacha. Because brachas tells us, since we don't, since normative halacha is called a fruit, so the brachas is the first vat. So now we have three different sheetahs in the Gedolah that we showed him. What's the bottom one? What brach do you make on peels? So according to the Rif proper, if there is vaday 100% polishim suffic, you make a brach of meripriyadon. According to Tavidi Rabbi Yaina, it's 100% suffix. We don't know what in the world the din is, and therefore we earn the side of caution. You make a bar pizama. According to the Balei Tosfos, it's wrong. You don't make a bar pizama. That gears of the Gemara is wrong. The back is wrong. The parents are wrong. It doesn't exist. And forget, the correct bracha is tak a bar grace, because that's the quality of sack that we pass in that it is considered to be a fruit. So three different opinions in Gedolah that we share. Now, how would this play out for us, Lamaisa? We would probably be more comfortable making Bora Pri Hadamas, because two out of three Shitas, you know, are pointing in that direction. What would the din be, though, if a person sat himself down to enjoy a nice plate of peels, and by mistake he made a Bora Pri Eitz? According to Tosfos, he did the right thing. What would you say now? He's down to repeat the bracha. Now the Shitas get flipped on you, why? So before we said the correct bracha is probably Bar Pri Adama, because that's two out of three Rishonim. Now the guy already made the bracha, what would you say? According to Tosfos, you made the right bracha. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, what happened? We don't know. We're not sure according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu was only a suffix. So now, Hilchos Tavi Brachas turns around to you and says, well, I can't tell you about another bracha because maybe you are Yitzhak. So according to now, Rabbeinu Yonah just turned on the riff and now joined Balei HaTosfos with the Eved. The only lone sheet holding out against us is the riff. Well, presumably, the riff would say, you were sugar that you made at Bar Peitz and peels. You're crazy. No, you know it's not the fruit. So according to the Rif, you made the wrong bracha. So presumably, according to the Rif, you would have to repeat the bracha. Or maybe not. Why would you not have to repeat the bracha even according to the Rif? Maybe. So remember I said to you before, when you have a gnome, asked me, what do you have a bracha dhamma for? Where did that come from? So the Gemara says, whenever you have the things that are the main fruit, they're bracha eitz. The other things are the quasi, parts of the tree. So they're not bracha eitz, they're bracha eitz. What if I had something that I know for sure is not real part of the fruit? It's a mamish, it's the bark of the fruit, right? It's some other kind of a thing that's not the ika free of the fruit, whatever that is, the whole sukkah, the gemara. Whatever, whatever the different things, possibility things are. And I went and I made a bar for eight times. Shaloika did. So the Magen Avraham says, you're still your activity, but you know why? Because at the end of the day, you made a true statement. What was the true statement? Now, the same way, if you make a bar pri adama on an apple, the Mishnah says, you yaitse, why you yaitse? You make the wrong bracha. Kuliyamu pli, you're not supposed to make a bar pri adama on an apple. What's the answer? You only repeat brachas when you made an inaccurate statement. If you made an accurate statement, even though that wasn't the tachanas achamim to make, but the end, you're still yaitse. That's why in kulam brach shahakul yatsa. At the end of the day, the apple shahakul every drop. At the end, the bread shahakul, the wine shahakul every drop. Everything was made. The Dvar Hashem. So Ruchas Bracha says the Magen Avraham, to make you repeat a bracha with the Yevet, it has to be you said Mamash Shekel. Say, if a guy makes a mitzvah without a carry, you have to repeat the bracha. So it comes the Magen Avraham and says that if you made ha'etz on the wrong parts of the tree, they're not really truly the tree itself, as long as it's kind of okay to half-baked true statement, the Yevet would be okay. So peels would probably make the mark according to the Magen Avraham Cheshbon. The Yevet says, I don't know if this is Evan Ha'oza, one of the last Rav disagrees with the Magen Avraham. It's not true. There is no such column of the Rav. Any true statement is Yevet with the Yevet. Certain true statements are good with the Yevet. So they're not, again, you have to learn that Machlokes maybe a little bit later on in the Barak. But it's very, very difficult to tell a fellow who made a word for eights and peels to repeat the bracha. First of all, according to Tosfos, he did the right thing. According to Rabbeinu Yoina, he made a sfekel in Afka, he was Yotzei. And even according to the Rif, it could be that he was still Yotzei in the Yom. But again, the normal halach in terms of what we should tell people, so that's the intent in these three different opinions in the Rishon. So up until now, we've been talking a lot about peels. We started talking about oral life. The extended Tilchus Brachas. But we left out an entire major component of the Sugya, and that's what begins on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara's Akasha on everything we've been assuming up till now. If the Gemara's assuming half the Tanayim are telling us that the peels are not considered to be Orla, yes, to the Gemara, the three lines of the Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The table like the Nasa Shengel Pri says, well, wait a second, what are you talking about? Even if a peel is not the fruit proper, it's still protecting the fruit. For Achamana Amma Veralta Barlosas Pirio, Esatof Lepirio, my new Shem Lepri. It happens just to be a little bit of a wrinkle in the Sugya that there's a Din Deraisa that oil applies to Shem Lepri as well. Even after the fruit proper, it applies to anything like the Shem Lepri, which is also Chawan Hashem Orla. Wait a second, hold the phone. The Orla is spouse on a Shomer of the pre, what are we talking about? Eating the peels of the tzlach? What was Rav Yudim Rav doing? What was Rav Ashi doing? What do you mean it's a machlokes atanoim? It's still machlokes atanoim. The machlokes atanoim is a hilchos maisris. Is it called ikra pri or not? But once we enter into the realm of his orla, midei shemel and hafka, it's a vada shemel of the pre. And if it's a shemel of the pre, so of course orla applies to it. So forget about Rav, we don't even know, how do we even get into this discussion? The whole discussion was revolving around oil, but the discussion, the premise is wrong, because what happened to Hashemir? So the Gemara goes through a whole shakmatai to try to figure out why Shomer doesn't play a role by Tzlaf. And the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion. We'll take a look, go down to where those brackets, where the parentheses are. Sorry, we're jumping around a little bit in the Gemara, but down to where those parentheses were, up a couple of lines from there. The first one line is Ha'ilonos. El Amar Rabba. Heicham rina davei shomer lepri. When does the Torah tell us there's a din of shomer lepri? Heicha dechishak l'slei l'shomer, mayis peira. B'med d'rav amurim, that's if you would remove the shomer, then the fruit would die. If you remove the peel, then the fruit would die. So then obviously that peel is protecting the fruit. Hocha kishak l'slei, by the tzlaf fruit, if you remove the peel, lo mayis peira. Nothing happened to it. Fruit won't die, fruit won't rot, fruit won't shrivel up, even without the... So next time we find a caper bush, double check, that's what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us they actually tried it, that happened, that didn't shrivel up, didn't ruin. So therefore, Hilcha Shomer is irrelevant. So we can read the side of the Hilcha Shomer is irrelevant, because this particular fruit we're talking about is not subject to the rules of Hilcha Shomer. Good. So far, so good. Is anything the last... I think we just spoke about the last 5 minutes relevant from Maseches Brachos, so is that just a quirk in Nuchas Orla? That there's a din of Shomer in Nuchas Orla, and by the way, this is not a Shomer because it's not protecting the fruit can survive without it. Is any of that of any relevance in terms of Hilchas Brachos? So the Rishonim begin to discuss a possible difference, possible nafkavina, as follows. Let's forget about peels for a minute. Let's switch to another part of the fruit, seeds. First, sit down. Eats the seeds of an apple, seeds of an orange. What's the deal? What brachas do you mean? Assuming that they're, let's say they're edible, assuming that they're edible seeds. Okay, a bunch of dumb seeds. What brachas do you make? Do you make a bar pri? Do you make a bar pri adama? What's the deal? So it comes to us on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Does klipia goes by garinichem oila de perininu mikan sheish levarach la garinin shel gudonios vegarine aparsikin v'shal tapuchim v'chol mini garinim shel peres berpria eitz. Taisa says in one fell swoop the brach is berpria. That's it. Don't ask any kashas. Let's take the Taisa one step further. Take a look at the Rush. In Perek Vav Siman Dalet, this first starts talking about peels, and then jumps into seeds. Let's read Siman Dalet. It's a very short Siman. Tanya, Klipe Rimoin Vaneit Shelo, O Klipe Agozim Vagarinin Chayavim Beorla, Mishum Da B'Shomer V'Darshiran Es Piril Rabasla Tofel Piril, Aval Garinin V'Dechayavim Beorla. Alma Prininu. What did the Rosh just say? He started out talking about peels. Peels are chayvin orla because the Jerusha Rabbis the top of the period. Torah Shomer. Garinin, if seeds are chayvin orla, like the Gemara says, Alma Prininu. What did the Rosh just say? What are they not?
Shomer.
They're not shomerim because they're not doing what?
Protecting.
They're not protecting anything. Esa Tofel Imperial means the shomer, the protection, the seed, the peels, the klipos, that's considered to be, the shells, those are considered to be a potential issue of shomer. But garinin and b'chola. Aye, so how in the world could there be orlo on garinin? What's the reason? It must be that the garinin mamish the etzimapri. Umikan yeshlomot, a kol garini peiris, the brachlin v'aparates. Vachlo yumarish, the mamish bitter, they don't taste good, they don't make any brachlin there, maybe. But if they taste good, they're sweet, whatever it is, then the brach is berperates. So what did the Rosh just tell us? Identical to Tosfos, or did he add to Tosfos? Tosfos just told us a fact. He said, by the way, you make a berperates on seeds. The Rosh told us why. And he also told us why not. What did the Rosh just say? The Rosh said, the chayv in orla, right? That we know for a fact. That's a braisa. Seeds are chayv in orla. Says the Rosh, the chayv in orla, it can't be based on hilchos what? Shomer. Right? That would not be a reason. The seeds are not a shomer. So it must be, by default, there must be what?
A
pre-mamish. And now what does he say? Now that I just proved to you that the seeds are the pre-mamish, now you remember it. The point that what? That if it would have been based on what? A shomer. Somehow seeds and peels would have been the same league of shomerim. Somehow, some reason, some deep dark secret, we're not sure that why. Then the bracha barber eight would not have been recited. What did the Rosh just tell us? What chiddush did the Rosh just say? What warrants barber eight and what doesn't? Hilchos Orla is not an automatic declaration of barber eight. Only if it's chayv and orla because of what reason?
Because it's a
pri. If it's chayv and orla because of a quirk, because of it happens to be a shomer, that's very nice. That's what we call, that's a din proti nuchas orla. That has no implication outside of the mazon. So with that one line of the Rosh just told us, mitulgabe orla ikra pri, because we just proved to you that it's ikra pri, therefore you see from here that you make a bar parades on it, implying clearly that if not for that, if it would have been chayv and orla for any other reason, i.e. b'taras shomer, the bracha would never ever have been a berperates. That's clear from the Rosh. Clear as day from the Rosh. Yeah, is there a Rosh over there? Should be a Rosh. It's down here.
Oh, you don't have the fancy ones above. Gosh, I gave you all the ones. Huh?
For some reason, I don't think they reprinted the rules.
You wouldn't be able to find it.
I'm going to figure out why they didn't reprint them. This Rashi. Kasul b'taisves. The mikan yesh lumot sheyesh lebarach lagarinin shagud ganiyah shekaren tzirdish v'karminin aparsikin v'tapuchim chomei bar prints. Right out of our taisves. Ve'ena mechuba b'yena klal, says the Rashi. I don't think they're right. She'elu ein chayavin ba'or l'mishum pri elu miribuya de'es de'darshin an es ha'tofel apirio. What did the Rashba just say? Not only a shomrim chayv and orla because of the S. S doesn't only include shomrim, it includes anything that's tuffel to the pri, including the seeds also. V'kulam yes mar birin lehu. Therefore, the correct bracha at best would be what? Maybe Adam at best. Eight is for sure not going to be. Because it's not a fruit. So now we have a major machlokes between the Rashba and the Rosh that starts in Uchas Orla and now is impacted Uchas Brachas. Everybody agrees the starting point, everyone agrees that seeds are Chag and Orla. That's in Bereshit Gemara. Can't argue that. Seeds are Chag and Orla. Why the Chag and Orla? The Rosh says the Chag and Orla because the Iker HaPri, and therefore the Rosh extrapolated to Uchas Brachas. So they don't operate to eat seeds. The Rashba said the Chavin Ola because Esa Tofel Lepirio, and therefore Yudavka do not make a bar for Eitz on them. So everyone agrees in Uchas Ola the Chayiv. Machlokes, we showed him why the Chayiv, and that Machlokes that went back to Uchas Brachas. So I'll share with you Tashba Pem, another Rosh. It's a Rosh that appears in Uchas Ola. The Rosh in the enemy Nachas printed up Uchas Ola. So the Rosh says something starts in Uchas Ola. Exact opposite of what he writes in the second class. Mamish, exactly. The Rosh says in Uchas Orla that the reason why seeds are chayav in Orla is because of Esa Tofel material. Not the Mamish like the Rashba. You can really see the Rashba and Rosh impact one another. The Rashba and the Rosh met each other later in life. The Rosh was from Germany, the Rosh was in Spain. But the Rosh had to run away for their life in Germany and ended up in Spain. So the Rashba found the job. The Rashba was the Rebbe of Barcelona with a bigger Jewish community, and he gave the Rosh the job of Toledo, which was the next size Jewish community. So they became, they were always contemporaries, they became friends later in life. So I can't say which of these Rosh is written first. But the Rosh in Maseches Brachos writes clearly, without a question, that the Chiyuv of Orla on seeds is not based on Esa Tofel or anything, it's based on Shem Pri, and therefore Hilchos Brachos follow suit. And Hilchos Orla, the Rosh says, by the way, as everybody knows, of course Orla applies to seeds, but you want to know why? Because of Esa Tofel material. But the Rosh in Hilchos Orla does not make mention one way or the other is, what's the Bracha? He's not writing Hilchos Brachos, he's writing Hilchos Orla. So that becomes a multi-million-dollar mystery. What do I mean by that? What are two ways, assuming we would only read the Rosh in Hilchos Orla, what two conclusions could we draw? Either he holds that it's based on Esa Tofel Pri, and therefore he holds identical like the Rashba, and therefore the bracha is Tacha Hadama. Or could we suggest something radical?
It's not really a Shomer HaPri, it's something different than Shomer HaPri, even though it falls into the same category as Orla, but it doesn't fall into the same category as Shomer HaPri, so therefore it should fall into the Pri Mamash.
But he just said it's not the Pri Mamash. The Rosh was always said. The Rosh was always said.
But that's only the guy who made the Orla.
Right? What's the Rosh was always said? Hilchos Orla, the Rosh says the Feirish, that the Garim and the seeds are not the Gufa. The only way we have any way of ever knowing that the Chayav and Orla must be because of these special discourses.
So he's basically equating peels and seeds.
But maybe Orla has nothing to do with brachos, according to the second Rosh.
You mean like the Rashba? You mean like,
yeah, you can't. 100%.
That would be that. If that would, but maybe one could say something radical.
It's not a halacha pratis to Orla. You learn it out from Orla what the bracha should be on.
Oh, maybe the Rashi Orla never changes to from brachos. Maybe he also helped me make pahes. That was never even all about that such a change. What the Rashi Orla is saying is something monumental. He's saying that even though it's not kufa free, if it's chayiv and Orla, then the brachas are eitz. Unlike what the Rosh said in Maseches Brachas, unlike what the Rashba said in Maseches Brachas, both in the Rishonim and Brachas said, if it's not kufa free, then it's not ha'eitz. I don't care why it's chayiv and Orla. If it's chayiv and Orla for another reason, that's irrelevant. The only thing that impacts on his brachas is the status of the chod kufa free. What the Rosh and Orla may be saying is that no, it can be chayiv and Orla for reason X, Y, and Z, and still the brachas are eitz. Why is that? Because es atofel a pri, as Stephen said, is redefining what a pri is. When the Torah says that oil applies to seeds and shells for that matter, what the Torah is saying is that these are es atofel a pri, but guess what? Now that the Torah gives us exer tzikos, they become elevated to the status of pri. There is no artificial difference between gufa pri and shomrim. The Russian bracha said, there's gufa pri, and then there's everything else. No, the Russian oil says, it's all the same. So here for the brachas. Maybe the brachas does. So it's not clear. So we know for a fact that the Rosh and Orla is different from the Rosh said in the second brachas. The Rosh has some change of mind again. I don't know which one was written first, but there's some kind of change of mind in the two Roshes. What we don't know is, did he change his mind in Hilchos Brachas also? And if he changed his mind in Hilchos Brachas, so then he's mamish to Rashba. He just went to Adavah, just straight Rashba. But if he kept his original view and it was brachas, and just revamped his Orla understanding, then he has created for us a third possibility that no, it's not gufa pri, and yes, it's still called eitz. There are three possibilities. Either it is gufa pri, and therefore it's eitz, it's not gufa pri, and therefore it's adama, or it's not gufa pri, and it's still eitz. So if that second reading of the Rosh is correct, we have a whole new possibility. So hopefully we have to think about this a little bit. Yubishvat will pass between us before we get to the next part of this. So yes, but we have to go back to these two Rushes and analyze what's going on. And this is now beginning to lead back to this oil. And it was brachas. We have a lot of work to do just to put together some of the pieces of this. So next year we'll do. Next week we'll take a little break for Yeshiva week, and then Mitzvah Shem, hopefully we're back on in 2 weeks from now.